Welcome to today's edition of the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security. I'm Evan Schumann. Over the past year, retail has been inundated with payment security ads touting that this application has the magic elixir to get retailers a get-out-of-jail-free card for PCI. The phrase, "we'll keep you out of PCI scope," is about as powerful as it's never true. Other than switching to a cash-only business model, almost every company that accepts payment cards has to deal with PCI paperwork at some level. But the definition of in-scope is indeed morphing. Can that liability ever be outsourced? Even a little. To figure this out, we have with us today Aaron Reynolds, a Verizon Business Security Principal Consultant. Has in-scope definitions, have they changed much at all?
I don't see where a merchant, whether end-to-end encryption or point-to-point encryption, is going to get away from being able to fill out something for PCI compliance. I mean, there's always going to be a responsibility to ensure that tools that might state, PADSS applications are a good example. We all know that those applications can be certified and certainly have the capacity to meet all PCI DSS requirements. But are they implemented that way? End-to-end encryption, if implemented properly, certainly could reduce the scope of an environment, depending on how it's implemented. So I don't see that there's ever going to be any blanket statements made where use this, it's the magic wand, you're not going to have any PCI responsibilities once you do this. I think, as you mentioned in an earlier conversation, you know, just stopping to accept credit cards altogether is about the only magic wand of getting out of PCI scope and responsibilities. So whether we're talking about outsourcing, whether we're talking about implementing the latest and greatest, there's always going to be some implications. That encryption process has to start somewhere. No question about it, there's tools and techniques that can significantly reduce your PCI scope, but I don't think there's anything aside from not taking credit card data to completely get out of scope and filling out some type of PCI compliance attestation. There's additional clarifications that have been made around validation of scope. I think this might be one of the largest areas where we're going to see additional effort needed in terms of preparation for the assessment. The clarifications were that it was to be done at least annually and recommended to be done prior to the assessment to reconfirm scope. It requires that merchants appropriately document the methods that are used. So whether they're doing, you know, several manual techniques for identifying scope, cardholder data flow reviews, network segmentation reviews, if they're using any automated data discovery tools, documenting all of that, including the entire PCI scope within their environment. Merchants not doing that today, I think that's a fair amount of work for them to take on. There's some clarification that were made around issuers and handling of sensitive authentication data. Not really going to affect the retail space, but again, another noted change that impacts and certainly brings in issuers into the game. And I think some retailers may have asked in the past, you know, how come this doesn't reference my bank, something like that. We do have reference now to issuers within the DSS. Virtualization, again, was mentioned, a new addition, and for those running virtual environments, this is certainly could be a big area for them, depending on whether their previous QSA was including it or if they were doing self-assessments, whether they themselves were including their virtualized environment as part of their PCI scope. So those are all somewhat high-level changes. The requirements themselves, one in particular that I noticed just the other night, again, very subtle change within the requirement itself, but potential for huge impacts, is requirement 1.4. The former language stated that desktop firewalls were to be used for desktops and laptops. I think the clarification that was made, it clarified that it applies to both corporate and employee-owned desktop and laptops. I know that many QSAs and merchants were already interpreting it this way, but I know that there are a number that I've had experience in terms of consulting with that did not see it this way. And so this clarification, depending on whether compensating controls were used, or exactly how they documented their self-assessment or a report on compliance if they were using a QSA, could result in significant impacts.
They passed up an obvious opportunity to address mobile. Didn't their wording pretty much sidestep any kind of mobile, including a tablet?
Well, I don't know if sidestep's the right word. There were a lot that were hoping that very specific verbiage for mobile apps would be included within the DSS. When you look at, just take an iPhone, for example, and the number of iPhone applications, the decision to, certainly around payment application security assessments, to not accept mobile applications, iPhone-type applications, there's probably just too many out there, and trying to take all of those on with a very rigorous review process for payment applications, I think, is just too much at this time.
For the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security, this is Evan Schumann.